Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We want to take up now a terrible incident outside Philadelphia. This may not be for all ears, but police in Upper Darby Township say a woman was raped on a train around 10 p.m. Wednesday night while a carload of riders did nothing. Officers arrested the suspect after an employee for the train service, SEPTA, alerted them. Police say there is train surveillance video showing the 8-minute assault, and police say they were told that some riders also videotaped it, and no one did anything. Well, until those riders stepped forward, we don't know why they didn't step forward then. But in the meantime, how should you intervene in a violent situation without endangering yourself or the victim you're trying to help? Yolanda Edrington is the director of the National Sexual Violence Resource Center in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Yolanda, your thoughts when you heard this?
It was really disappointing to hear that people were on the subway car and didn't know what to do or didn't feel that they could do something. And it was just so even more hurtful to hear about the person that was assaulted.
Right. And police say it shows the suspect following the woman on the train, getting aggressive with her, ripping off all her clothing and then raping her over 8 minutes. But we know that since the infamous Kitty Genovese incidents, there's been something called the bystander effect. Now, we rush to say that this was the 1964 incident, a 28-year-old Kitty Genovese killed while she screamed outside her home in Queens, New York. The New York Times reported at the time that 38 people did nothing. It turns out that that was flawed reporting. A lot of people did things. They did call. But still, we have this concept of something called the bystander effect. Is there, you know, such a thing? Because people are questioning whether that really exists. They say most people do help.
And most people do help. I do want to say that most people do help. When you go back and talk to someone that was present for a violent assault, it's usually like fear. Will this person turn now on their attention on me? Or are they frozen in place and don't know what to do? Like, you know, sometimes your mind and body do not connect together. So there's multiple reasons why a person maybe did not act in that moment.
And we should say, too, that even the people who were videotaping, they might have thought that that was something that would someday help.
Right. We've seen, especially now in the age of social media, that people will videotape. The additional part is the distracting. Hey, I'm videotaping you. Stop what you're doing. That's the additional part to it. And then with the video, if you are documenting, because that's what that is, documenting of a crime, you also should be checking in with the person, the targeted person or the person that was assaulted. And do they want this to go to the authorities? What is the thing that they want to happen? Because that's what the bystander is there for, to support the person that is being targeted. What can you do to distract what is happening, to stop what is happening? Video isn't just enough.
So videotaping it isn't necessarily voyeuristic. In other words, we hope that maybe people were videotaping to try to have evidence later if they felt helpless in any other way. But put it all aside, because we don't know. We don't know what the people on that train were thinking. I mean, a train, too. If, in fact, you intervene and you provoke the suspect, you've got nowhere to go. You know, so people could have felt they were endangered. What is something that people could try to safely do in an incident like that?
In a space to keep, you know, your physical body safe, since there are other people there, there's a few things that people can do. They can disrupt a situation. And that is, you know, by using their voice, by saying something, as the old saying is, you see something, say something. And if you don't want to act alone, you know, you can say to the person next to you, hey, are you seeing what I'm seeing? They need to stop, but you're saying it loud enough and you're getting someone so you feel like you're a group now and you don't have to be alone at it when you do confront the harasser verbally.
And you say you can also spill something or knock something down or drop something just to distract.
Right. It gives an opportunity for that person to get away. Different things like that where you're not like completely drawing the attention to yourself and this person might be coming after you. But it's like, oh my goodness, like a fumble.
Yeah. What should people not do? I mean, I'd like to think that I would just jump on the guy, you know, and drag him away. But I don't know. I don't know what happens in that moment. And I don't know if that would be the best thing for the victim. I mean, what if he got more violent towards her?
The goal isn't for the bystander now to become the quote unquote hero. The goal is to stop what is happening. So something that someone can do are those things about the distracting, you know, doing it together is the best.
Yeah.
The best thing to do, and not to respond physically, because usually it escalates the situation. We're trying to de-escalate, not escalate. Oh. But that we all know that not doing something is never the answer.
That's Yolanda Edrington, director of the National Sexual Violence Resource Center in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Just a terrible story out of Philadelphia. A man has been arrested, charged with rape of a woman on a train while people apparently did nothing. I hope we hear from them. I hope they can help us understand what happened in that moment, and maybe we can learn from it. Yolanda, thanks so much.
Thank you.